I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm speaking with Mark Chinook, founder of Monday's Dark and the charity-based arts complex, The Space. You've probably seen or heard Mark before, either on stage at Monday's Dark or in shows like Rock of Ages, Magic Mike Live, or The Lion King. Or if you prefer sports to arts, then maybe on ESPN or announcing at Vegas Golden Knights or Las Vegas Raiders games. Besides their bi-weekly fundraising parties, Monday's Dark hosts special events, including the upcoming fourth annual Monday's Dark 5K Cowbell Jammer. Mark, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. You should be my agent with that intro. That was awesome.
You know, I think a lot of people are familiar with Monday's Dark. They're familiar with you. But for those who aren't, tell us about the regular Monday's Dark fundraising shows that you have twice a month.
Yeah, so Monday's Dark is basically a goofy variety show that we put on every other Monday night out of The Space. And in 90 minutes, we raise $10,000 for a different local nonprofit. We never repeat nonprofits. And to date, we've partnered with over 180 local groups. So we're creeping up on $2 million raised for Las Vegas with this just goofy party that we throw on Monday night.
That's incredible. So how exactly do you raise 10K in 90 minutes? I'm sure a lot of people would like to know.
Yeah, it's a variety show. So we have a full band on stage. There's an 8-piece band I host. And every other Monday, it's a different theme. So we could be doing 80s music. We could do Lady Gaga night, you name it. It's a commercial theme. So that way people are coming to listen to good tunes, and headliners from the Strip, all various shows on the Strip show up, they turn out and they perform. And it's just a great night. The name comes from the fact that the Broadway schedule is traditionally dark on Monday. So that's where the name came from. And when I was performing full-time in Rock of Ages, Monday night was my night off. So we would get together on our night off and throw a party for a charity. So that's how it all started. But it's 90 minutes, 2 hours, it's $20, and all the money goes to a different nonprofit. Mondaysdark.com is the website. And, you know, it's been a fun trip, and we're not stopping anytime soon. We've got a wait list of over 300 charities that want to partner with us. So we're excited.
So Mondays are no longer dark.
No, they're a lot of fun and for a cause, which is even better.
So you said it's different organizations each time, but what sorts of charities and nonprofits receive the funds from Monday's Dark?
Like I said, to date, we've partnered with about 180, and we sort of cross all platforms of giving. You know, it could be a humanities organization, a cancer organization, an animal rescue, a police officers fund, fire department, veterans, you name it. We have a board of 7, and every year they select 21 nonprofits that we feature. And we throw 21 parties a year, and each of those nonprofits receive $10,000. But we cover the gamut. You know, if a charity needs our help, they're vetted by the board, they get a Monday's Dark party, and we raise $10,000 for them.
That's awesome. Okay, so then what exactly is the Monday's Dark 5K Cowbell Jammer that you've got coming up?
So we do a 5K every year. It's our fourth time doing it now. And it's just another way for us to give back. The weather is obviously, you know, in our favor now. It's getting really nice outside. We partner with True Fusion on Eastern. We all meet on Sunday, April 30th, and we gather. The 5K is to benefit all of the charities that we've partnered with. There's a drop-down menu, and you can determine where you want your $30 registration to go to. So it's not just a 5K for one particular organization. It's wherever you want that money to go to. And trust me, when you go to the drop-down list, you'll see nonprofits that you recognize. So you go to mondaysdark.com, the link to register is right there, and you decide where you want the $30 to go to. You can donate it to Monday's Dark. You can donate it to AFAN, you name it. There's a drop-down list. And so it's just a unique way to continue giving back to not only the nonprofits that we haven't partnered with yet, but some that we've partnered with years ago. So it's just a cool way for us to get people outside. Everybody wants to run those 3 miles. Well, not really. I don't, but I do anyway. And it's a different way, right? Like normally you see these 5Ks and these fun runs and walks, and it's usually one nonprofit that they're supporting. This year, I think we have 30 on the list. You know, all of the charities that we're partnering with in 2023 are listed. And some from 10 years ago that we've helped are listed. So we give the charity the opportunity to opt in to the event. And it's just a cool way for us to get out of the norm of a Monday night party. And we get up on a Sunday morning and we do a 5K and you decide where that $30 registration goes.
That's awesome. Now, when I hear cowbell, though, all I can think of is Christopher Walken in the SNL skit.
So, and that's what we want you to think.
Is it?
Yep, that's what we want you to think.
More cowbell.
Let me explain the context of why the name cowbell. So if you've been to one of our Monday's Dark parties in the past, there's a segment in the show where a lucky audience member gets to come up on stage and play the cowbell with the band. And it's always been called the Cowbell Jam. So it was only fitting that we called our 5K the Cowbell Jammer. Some runners show up every year with actual cowbells. So they're running down the street. Doop, doop, doop. You know, we have cowbells on hand. This year at the conclusion of the race, performers from the Strip are going to be singing karaoke. You're going to get a PBR when you cross the finish line, or a water if you don't drink beer. Pink Box Donuts is going to be on hand. They're donating a bunch of donuts. So this is the healthiest 5K I'm sure you've ever heard.
Oh, yeah.
You get a PBR, like beer, and a donut.
Beer and donuts? Who thought? Oh, of course, because you come from Canada. Now it makes sense.
That's right. You know, that's
who else would put together beer and donuts? I mean, seriously,
it's a classic breakfast.
All right. So you mentioned it's Sunday, April 30th. You mentioned it's in the morning, but what time does it all get started?
So we're going to gather around any time you can show up between 8 and 8:30 at True Fusion on Eastern. That's where our meeting place. They have a wonderful backyard with this grassy area. We're going to do a group warm up, a group stretch. There'll be a couple of speeches. We've got some raffles and giveaways. And then at 9 o'clock, the 5K will start. And then as you come back to True Fusion, you start and finish at that location. The music will be pumping. There'll be karaoke, prizes, donuts, beer, and a really cool medal that looks like a cowbell and a little drumstick spin around it. It's really neat. So we're excited. This is the fourth time we've done it now. It's our fourth year. They get bigger and better every year. Again, it's a beer and a donut after you go for a jog, but that's all you need to know.
Okay. So tell us again how listeners can sign up for the 5K Cowbell Jammer or find out more about upcoming Monday's Dark shows and other things happening at the space.
Easy peasy. MondaysDark.com. So it's Monday with an S, MondaysDark.com. All things listed about the nonprofit there. All of the charities that we're partnering with this year are listed there as well. There's a little bit about us and the history of the, you know, the couple of million dollars that we've raised for Vegas. And the space is the venue that we operate out of, and that's thespacelv.com. And there's 3 to 5 nights a week of programming at the space. They've always got great concerts happening. But mondaysdark.com for all things given back to the community. And it's the run at the end of this month is going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Okay, so mondaysdark.com is the website, mondaysdark.com. And again, the fourth annual Monday's Dark 5K Cowbell Jammer is happening Sunday, April 30th. Check in at 8 a.m. and the run is at 9 a.m. starting at True Fusion Eastern. And you get beer and donuts when you're done, as well as karaoke. So mondaysdark.com is the place to go. And if you want to find out about what else is going on at the space, thespacelv.com. And Mark, I want to thank you so much. It's great talking to you as always. I love what you're doing, and this sounds like so much fun. So thank you so much for taking your time and being here. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you for always having me on. You have a great platform, and you give us a voice, and you get us out to people who might not know about us. And that's doesn't go unnoticed. And we're so appreciative of the opportunity that you give us here at Monday's Dark. So thank you so much for all you do.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Month as a part of one thing. If all of us do our one thing together, that's millions of things for our planet. Stephen Jenkins of Third Eye Blind tells us his one thing.
Get rid of plastic. That's what we did on tour. And when we did, we saved something like tens of thousands of plastic water bottles that would definitely otherwise end up in the ocean.
To find your one thing, plus music, podcasts, and more, go to odyssey.com/one thing or download the free Odyssey app.
I'm Heather Vale, and you're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Alex Hoops, Director of Adoption Services at Loving Hearts Adoption Services. National Infertility Awareness Week is April 23rd to 29th, and for many couples struggling with infertility, adoption can be a solution toward building a family. Alex, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Heather, for taking the time to speak with me today.
So what exactly is the Loving Hearts Adoption Services?
Yeah, great question. So Loving Hearts is a licensed child placing agency in the state of Nevada. We are licensed to work with all members of the adoption triad. So that's birth parents, adoptive parents, and adoptees. And we facilitate adoption placements, typically newborns, and place children in loving adoptive homes.
Okay. Now, what is National Infertility Awareness Week all about?
Yeah, so National Infertility Awareness Week, I believe it started back in 1989. It's very educational to bring about awareness and education just about infertility. I think a lot of people don't necessarily know how many people experience infertility and how common it actually is. So it raises awareness as to that specific issue.
Yeah, so I mean, that brings up the question, how common is infertility?
So about 1 in 8 couples experience infertility, which is, it's quite a bit. And that includes difficulty getting pregnant, as well as difficulty sustaining or carrying out a pregnancy.
Okay. And, you know, obviously there's a few options, but adoption stands out as being one of the most effective and most needed. So why would you say infertile couples should consider adoption?
So infertility, it often leads to seeing an infertility specialist and receiving a lot of infertility treatments. That could include anything from medications to surgeries to IVF, if listeners are familiar with that. And a lot of people have explained how exhausting these fertility treatments can be emotionally, physically, financially. And adoption can be a great option for families who are, quite frankly, just kind of tired of fertility treatments. A lot of people have been experiencing infertility for several years. And also for people who just don't want to go that route of seeking any sort of medical treatment. And with adoption, it might not be right away, but you're essentially guaranteed, at least at some point, to have a child placed in your home and to be able to grow your family.
Okay. Now, what misconceptions do you find that infertile couples have about adoption?
Great question. There's a lot of misconceptions about adoption, actually. We host a 3-day Adoption 101 class for our adoption applicants. So we go over a lot of those misconceptions, but some of the most common ones would include that a birth parent or a birth mother doesn't want their child. That's definitely not true. Most birth mothers I've worked with love their children and they're making an adoption plan proactively because they love that child. Other people enter the adoption process thinking adopted children shouldn't know that they're adopted until maybe they're older. That's definitely not recommended, not best for the child. It's actually recommended that they know as early as possible from day one so that they can grow up, you know, understanding and knowing where they came from. It's part of their identity. Another misconception is that most birth mothers are teenagers. Most of the birth mothers we work with are about 30 years old. So there's a lot of misconceptions. Those are some of the big ones, but we definitely clear those up from the beginning.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that it's good for the child to know from day one that they are adopted, which obviously a lot of adoptive parents do the opposite. But what do you think about whether or not they should meet the birth parents?
That's a really good question. As some people may know, that does happen nowadays. Most adoptions in the past used to be closed or traditional, where there was not much contact with a birth parent, mostly no contact with a birth parent. Now we're seeing a lot more open adoptions or, you know, semi-open adoptions, just different variations of adoptions that may include contact with a birth parent. It can be in the child's best interest to have some contact, or at the very least, for an adoptive parent to have that medium available to be able to ask questions such as, family history, about medical things and things like that. So to have some sort of connection to be able to have questions answered, I think is great. As far as whether a child should or could meet a birth parent, I think it really depends on the dynamics in that particular adoption and what is in the best interest for that particular child at that time. A lot of adoption is very case by case, but generally speaking, I would recommend at least some level of openness, but it's definitely not required. If someone's only interested in a closed adoption, we can absolutely facilitate those as well.
Okay. Now, why should women with an unexpected pregnancy consider putting their child up for adoption?
It is something to consider. Of course, we don't want to pressure anyone to make that decision, but at least inquiring about the option, I think I would recommend to almost any pregnant woman who's not prepared to have a child, just to gain that knowledge and education. A lot of women are just not in a place to support a child emotionally, physically, mentally, financially. And adoption gives a birth mother an opportunity to plan for that child, and they have the right to select a family themselves and to know where their child is going. And it's really difficult. It's a difficult decision. So I really admire a lot of women who are able to say to themselves, I don't think I'm able to do this. And I think adoption is in the best interest of my child. So I would recommend, pretty much, like I said, to any mom who's in a tough situation like that, to at least inquire and gain some knowledge.
Okay. Now, I'm assuming that in many cases, not all, but many cases, when a woman puts her child up for adoption, the father is not necessarily in the picture anymore. How does the birth father fit into the whole scenario, and what kind of permission or what kind of acknowledgement does he need to provide?
Excellent question. I think a lot of people don't think about that question. So the father, his rights are equal to the mother's. So the mother is expected to name the father to the best of her ability, and the agency has an obligation to try to contact that father and get his thoughts on the adoption. It is best if both biological parents are involved, but the father does absolutely have the same rights as that mother. And if he's not involved, there is an option to terminate parental rights, but then it can get really messy. And so it's really best if the mother's able to identify the father and he is on board with the adoption.
Okay. What kind of education and resources does Loving Hearts offer its clients for the whole adoption triad that you were talking about?
Yeah, so we hold a monthly birth mother support group to mothers who have placed their children for adoption. We hold that on the third Thursday of every month. For our adoptive families, we call it an Adoption 101 course. It's a 3-day course. It's about 24, 30 hours. And we go over pretty much everything adoption related. So how to navigate relationships with birth parents, different types of substance exposure to a child in utero, just general parenting information, like discipline methods, things like that. And then we also host adoptive family picnics, and we host a quarterly mentorship meeting for our waiting families to attend and meet families who have already adopted and to utilize them as a resource during their adoption process.
Okay. What sorts of things should someone consider before becoming an adoptive parent?
I'd say there's a few things. If considering adoption, I think it's really important to recognize that the process is going to require an immense amount of patience. And a lot of things are out of the adoptive family's control when they're going through the process, which can be really difficult for some people, understandably. The home study process is extensive. It involves a lot of work, a lot of paperwork, a lot of conversations. And then there needs to be a waiting period for when, you know, the child that they're waiting for is ready to be placed in their home. And they just really need to have trust in the process and remember that there are professionals advocating for them. And then just another really quick recommendation I would have is for families to really be ready to move forward and move. I don't want to say past their infertility process, because that grief can always resurface. But accepting the infertility alone can be a challenge, but families in the adoption process should ideally be ready to dedicate their family building efforts to the adoption. So a lot of patience and a lot of understanding of, okay, we've experienced this infertility, now we're ready to move on to the next chapter.
Do the adoptive parents choose the child, or does the birth mother choose the adoptive parents?
So the birth mother does choose the adoptive parents. However, the adoptive parents submit, it's what we call preferences to us. So they'll indicate to us, you know, what they're comfortable with, what type of substance exposure in utero, what type of family history the birth parent may have, if that information is known. Did the birth mother receive any prenatal care? So while the adoptive family may not have control over every part of the adoption process, they are absolutely entitled to select their preferences as to, you know, what they're looking for in their adoption.
Okay, cool. So how do listeners find out more about Loving Hearts or about adoption in general?
Yeah, anyone interested in adoption, whether they're looking to place a child or inquire about becoming an adoptive family, can visit our website at lovingheartsadoption.org, or they can give us a call at 702-385-3351. We don't mind, even if not an active client, we'd be more than happy to talk to someone who's interested.
Okay, nice. So once again, the website to go to is lovingheartsadoption.org, lovingheartsadoption.org. You can find out more information there about the adoption process and about what Loving Hearts does, or you can give them a call at 702-385-3351, 702-385-3351. And Alex, I want to thank you so much for being here. You know so much about the adoption process, obviously, because of your job, but you know so many nuances that most people aren't aware of. So thank you for being here and talking with us, especially with Infertility Week coming up. And your time and expertise is very much appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Heather. Thanks for bringing awareness to this important topic.
We didn't know what to expect. We were just left in a hotel.
My mom was doing drugs in the house.
Tay and Brianna spent years of their childhood in homes that weren't safe. They were placed in foster care and longed for a permanent, loving home.
I didn't know what my future was.
I wouldn't speak to anyone. I was afraid of everything.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Brianna and Tay were adopted and now feel excited about their futures.
I'm studying to be a chef, and I really want to travel the world.
I'm going to be a mechanic, and I can focus on my career.
Right now, in the United States, there are more than 100,000 children in foster care, just like Brianna and Tay, who need a family now. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and I'm Heather Vail. Joining me is John Kleindienst, National Voluntary Services Director for Disabled American Veterans. April is National Volunteer Month, so it's a perfect time to look at how you can make a difference through volunteering. John, thank you so much for being here today.
Heather, thank you for having me on the show today. In celebration of National Volunteer Month in April, DAV, Disabled American Veterans, is encouraging your listeners to get out and volunteer for veterans in their communities.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. So what exactly is Disabled American Veterans, or DAV?
DAV is a nonprofit that provides a lifetime of support for veterans of all generations. Every year, our no-cost services help more than 1 million veterans access their critical benefits, including support through our voluntary services program.
Okay, and what exactly is the DAV Transportation Network?
It's a network that we started back in 1987 when the U.S. government did away with that program for veterans. We've donated vehicles to all VAs across the country, and those vehicles provide free rides for veterans to and from their medical appointments when they likely couldn't make it due to health issues or lack of transportation. So we're glad to step up and fill in that role of providing access to care for veterans as a result of their military service.
Okay, and how important are volunteers in the running of your organization?
Volunteers are very important in what we do. They often fill gaps that veterans have in their lives. So we have volunteers who obviously provide rides for veterans to and from their medical appointment. We have volunteers that meet and greet veterans and VA medical facilities all across the country. And we have volunteers who are volunteering in the community, helping veterans with light household needs, such as lawn care, raking leaves, cleaning out gutters, so on and so forth, to ensure veterans' needs are met.
Okay. Over the past few years, have you found that the number of volunteers has increased, decreased, or stayed about the same?
We have seen a decrease in volunteerism as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. However, we are starting to see an uptick in individuals' interest in coming back to volunteer as we're returning to a bit more of a normal life.
Okay, and what are the requirements to be a volunteer for DAV?
If you want to become a volunteer driver, you need to be 21 years of age or older, possess a valid driver's license, be insurable, and pass a physical. If you're just wanting to volunteer in a VA medical facility, you would just go in and indicate that you're interested in volunteering on behalf of DAV, and they will find an assignment that best fits your ideas and interest. Or if you're wanting to volunteer in the community, we're just looking for individuals that are willing to give back.
In your interactions with your volunteers, what have they said about how volunteering affects them or impacts their own lives?
We hear numerous stories of individuals who have been impacted by volunteering that said it's motivated them to do more for veterans. We see a lot of young adults who have participated in our scholarship program that have altered their career plans to become in the medical field or going back to serve veterans. We have one volunteer by the name of Haley Kernett down in Little Rock, Arkansas. She was so inspired through her volunteering that she herself joined the U.S. Army and is now serving as a medic.
Wow, that's awesome. So tell us more about that scholarship program that you mentioned.
So DAV has a very robust scholarship. We award 10 scholarships annually valued at $110,000. And all a young adult has to do to be eligible for that scholarship is be 21 years of age or younger and volunteer 100 hours or more in the name of DAV, and they're eligible. They can learn more about our scholarship at davscholarships.org. I would encourage any listeners who are interested in getting some volunteer hours to consider becoming a volunteer and helping us achieve our mission of serving the men and women who sacrificed so much for this great country.
Okay, perfect. So if they want to find out about the scholarships, that's the website to go to. But how do listeners find out about the type of volunteer opportunities that are available in their area?
Great question. They can go to volunteerforveterans.org to learn more about opportunities in their area and to let us know of their interest in volunteering there. And if you're a veteran listening and you have a need that needs to be met, you can also go to the website, volunteerforveterans.org. Let us know about your need, and we will find a volunteer to help meet that need for you.
That's awesome. Do you have volunteer opportunities all across the country?
We do have volunteer opportunities all across the country.
Okay, awesome. So once again, volunteerforveterans.org is the website to go to, volunteerforveterans.org. That will let you know how you can volunteer for Disabled American Veterans or DAV, volunteerforveterans.org. And also if you're a veteran looking for someone to help out, you can also go there, volunteerforveterans.org. And if you decide to volunteer and you happen to be 21 years or younger, look into the DAV scholarship program, and you can find out more about that at davscholarships.org, davscholarships.org. And again, the main website is volunteerforveterans.org. And John, I want to thank you so much for being here and letting us know what impact volunteers have on your program and how people can volunteer to make a difference in the lives of veterans. And it's especially important now for National Volunteer Month. So I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on the show today.
Hi, I'm Bob Maxwell, CEO of Voice of the Veteran and an Air Force veteran myself. We give veterans a voice through our many programs. In the last year, we have helped secure nearly $4 million in aid and lifetime benefits for Nevada veterans and their families. So if you're a veteran, call us today at 702-381-2566. That's 702-381-2566. Let's see how we can help you.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Month as a part of One Thing. If all of us do our one thing together, that's millions of things for our planet. To discover what your one thing is, go to odyssey.com/one thing or download the free Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Sherry Glockner, Director of Marketing and Government Relations for the Silver Summit Health Plan. Medicaid beneficiaries across Nevada are at risk of losing their health coverage as states begin the process of redetermining whether millions of Americans are still eligible. Sherry, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Heather. Thanks for having me. It's important information.
Yeah, definitely. So what is this that's currently happening with the Medicaid program?
Great. Well, thanks for asking. So in March 2020, when the pandemic hit and the federal government declared a public health emergency, at that time, the federal government made the decision to let the Medicaid rolls stay where they were and not have a renewal process that is an annual process that anyone who's been on Medicaid had been aware of, that you would renew your Medicaid benefits every year. So in March 2020, that process was stalled, was paused. So it's been 3 years. And as we all probably remember as Nevadans, we were hit really hard by the pandemic. And our Medicaid rolls swelled to about 900,000 Nevadans were able to access Medicaid benefits to continue to get healthcare coverage. If their life circumstances had changed, they lost a job for whatever reason they needed to get Medicaid, they've been able to stay on those Medicaid rolls now for 3 years without the annual process of renewing. Well, that process that had been stalled, paused, is now beginning again. And so as of June 1st, if you got your Medicaid benefits in June of 2020, or June was the month of the year that you applied for Medicaid and received those benefits, you will be getting notice that you need to redetermine or update, renew your Medicaid eligibility. So that's what we're talking about.
Okay, so what are the current eligibility requirements to get Medicaid?
So that's a great question. So Silver Summit Healthcare is one of four managed care organizations in the state of Nevada. It's Silver Summit, Health Plan of Nevada, Anthem, and Molina Health, who's a new entrant into the managed care market in Nevada. So we serve Medicaid beneficiaries in Clark County and in Washoe County. So the eligibility requirements, the best way to look at that is to go to silversummithealthplan.com and reach out to our customer service. We can help you with that. Any of the managed care organizations have that same customer service, as well as you can go to Access Nevada. That's a website that is available. It's accessnevada.dwss.nv.gov. And so the requirements are 100 to be 128% of the federal poverty level, but there's other things. So it's best to actually go to those websites and get that direct information to see if you're eligible.
Okay. But one of the main eligibility requirements is financial based. So basically, correct, right now with this redetermination, they're trying to figure out whether people who qualified 3 years ago are still at those income level requirements and other requirements that would allow them to continue on Medicaid.
Yeah, that's great, Heather. That's a great point. Thank you. It is based on financial criteria. One of the things that I really am going to stress today to anybody who's on Medicaid currently is to make sure that you've updated all of your contact information with the state of Nevada. Because Heather, what's going to happen is that that June 1st date that I gave you, every month, anyone who is enrolled in Medicaid, when they reach that annual month that they applied and received their eligibility for Medicaid, they will be receiving communication from the state of Nevada, from Medicaid, to alert them to the fact that they need to update their information and to check their eligibility. So making sure that you're getting that communication from the state of Nevada is really, really important. And that is all about renewing and updating your contact information. With that Access Nevada site I gave you, you can do it through there.
Okay. Is there any other information that needs to be updated besides contact information?
Phone number, address are the most important. that's clearly the most important. And also when you go to that Access Nevada site, there's information in there about your eligibility and how to check it and determine if you're still eligible.
Okay, awesome. Now, you're mentioning the June 2023 deadline, but it's an annual thing. So basically, if someone received Medicaid starting in March 2020, then their deadline is passed.
Yeah.
If they got it in April 2020, then their deadline is now. If they got it in May 2020, then their deadline's next month. And then everybody past that, it's June 2023 regardless. So even if they got it in September 2020, we're still looking at June 2023 as the deadline?
Well, so the beauty of how the state of Nevada is doing this, and they've been so great. The state really wants to make sure that anybody who's eligible for Medicaid maintains their benefits. And if they, for some reason, aren't eligible, there are processes in place to help residents switch or transition over to other insurance through the marketplace, the Silver State Health Exchange. So to your point, the state of Nevada is going to take 14 months to roll this out. So if you applied in July of 2020, it would be July 2023 that you'll start receiving that communication from the state of Nevada. August 2020, it would be August 2023 that you would begin to get this communication. But what we as managed care organizations are doing, as well as the state of Nevada, is that we're starting to reach out to these members 60 days ahead of time. So they have plenty of notice to get their stuff in and get their benefits renewed if they're still eligible. So it's a 14-month process. So that was a great question.
Okay. So if they initially received Medicaid benefits at any point during 2020, is earlier better? So should they start trying to update that and gathering what they need to prove their eligibility now?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And the best way to do that, again, not to be a broken record, but it really is to go in and just make sure that the state has your most updated contact information. And then if you move again, do it again. That is going to be the best way to make sure that you're getting all of the communication that you need, that a family needs to maintain those health benefits. And we're working with providers all over the valley. We're working with community-based organizations, nonprofits. Everybody wants to make sure that Medicaid beneficiaries continue to receive their benefits or are able to get the information they need to transition to another product. Should they, for some reason, they're not eligible anymore, like you said, for if their financial situation has changed. So it's just really something that we're all working together to make sure that people stay insured.
Okay. So a lot of people got laid off during the pandemic. So let's say, for instance, someone had gotten laid off back in 2020 and they were then eligible for Medicaid and they have since gotten a job. They're no longer at those income level requirements. So they're no longer eligible for Medicaid. But you're saying they don't have to wait for the typical open enrollment period. They're going to basically get a loophole to move to a commercial plan?
Well, so what would happen is if they're on Medicaid now and they have been receiving those benefits, obviously the eligibility requirement for renewal was paused, as we've been talking about, they would go to Access Nevada and renew at that time through the Access Nevada site. They can start that process. And at that time, it would become evident that they would be able to transition to a marketplace plan. And so it's a special enrollment opportunity for those who are not eligible for Medicaid, but could be likely eligible for a marketplace plan. So I would say special enrollment more than open enrollment time.
Right. So they get the special enrollment now instead of having to wait for the general open enrollment that most people have to wait for, which is usually around November.
Correct. We want people to stay insured. And so does the state of Nevada. Everybody from the governor on down, this is just really, really important. So these special enrollment periods and people who were on Medicaid, who are shown to be not eligible, are going to have access to the Silver State Health Exchange products.
Okay, perfect. So give us the websites once again where people can go to learn more about the Medicaid changes or take action like updating their contact information, which you said is extremely important.
Yeah, it's the most important. So the first one, you can go to silversummithealthplan.com, and we have customer service agents there who can help you. And then there's the accessnevada.dwss.nv.gov. That is the state website that's chock full of information and assistance. And then any of the other managed care organizations that I mentioned earlier, their customer service is also there to help members.
Okay, perfect. So once again, silversummithealthplan.com is the Silver Summit Healthcare website, silversummithealthplan.com, or if you want to go to one of the other ones, they also have the information. And if you want to check out whether you're still eligible or you want to update your information, which you definitely should update your contact information if the state of Nevada doesn't have your current contact information, that website is accessnevada.dwss.nv.gov. accessnevada.dwss.nv.gov. And Sherry, are there any final words that you want people to remember so that they make sure they take care of all of this properly and in a timely manner?
Well, thanks, Heather. I just really think it's important for anybody who's been on Medicaid for the last 3 years just to be really aware and help your neighbors and your family and anybody who you know may have been on Medicaid. And there's lots of information out in the community in nonprofits around the valley, and provider offices have all of this. It's just really important that all of us work together to make sure people that are maintaining healthcare coverage.
Nice. Okay. SilverSummitHealthPlan.com or accessnevada.dwss.nv.gov are your websites to get the information. And Sherry, I want to thank you so much for being here, sharing this important information with people, helping them through the process and helping them understand what's going on. It's been extremely valuable and I appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Heather. It's really important. Thanks so much.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Jim Lenahan, travel editor for AARP, the magazine. Jim has also been an editor for USA Today and USA Weekend and has traveled to 15 countries and 30 states. Jim, thanks so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on. I've been to Las Vegas, by the way, of course.
Oh, of course. You know, everybody, if they're going to travel in the U.S., Las Vegas has to be one of the destinations, right?
Absolutely. And in fact, our AARP Travel Trends survey that we just did showed Las Vegas as one of the top desired destinations for people over 50 to travel to.
Nice. What else are the key points that you discovered through that AARP Travel Trends survey?
Yeah. So every year we conduct this survey, as I mentioned, people over 50. And the really interesting findings this year were that, number one, people are really interested in travel in general, you know, going on vacations. About 60% of the respondents told us that they'll take at least one trip this year. And out of that group, most of them said they'll take three or four trips this year. So that's a pretty high number, you know, coming out of what we've experienced the last couple of years or so with the pandemic. And then another interesting finding in it was how popular car trips are as the mode of travel this year. About half of the respondents said they want to travel by car rather than, say, taking a plane. And that number is up from previous surveys.
Wow. Okay. So what do you attribute that to, that people want to travel more this year? Is it just because we've been locked down for a few and it's like, woohoo, time to hit the road?
That seems to be a big part of it, right? So people haven't been able to travel like they were used to with the pandemic. And also, people weren't able to necessarily spend as much time with their families during that time as they might like. And they told us that family trips in particular are the top motivator for taking vacations.
Okay, so we're experiencing some inflation, you know, prices of gas are getting higher. So if people want to take a family road trip like that, how can they do that and still stick to a budget while they travel?
Yeah, of course, inflation is still a concern. That's a big reason why people are choosing the car trip in particular, is to save some money as well. But while you're out on the road, here at AARP, we can offer you some tips on how you can save some money on that trip. So number one, we'd suggest people really get to know that GPS app before they hit the road. A lot of people use those apps on their phones and on the dashboard. And the app, you know, will help you in terms of the route, but also a lot of times it has real-time gas price information. So you can make sure that you fuel up at the right station to save some money at the pump. Also, we would suggest people book their hotel as early as possible in the travel planning process. That's usually how you'll get the best rate. But even then, after you've booked the hotel, check in with the hotel right before you go on your trip. A lot of times there'll be last minute deals and the hotel might be able to work with you on that. Also, you know, this may seem obvious, but it's worth mentioning. Sign up for loyalty programs, rewards points, all of that sort of thing. A lot of times that can help you out if there's a particular hotel chain you like, you can build up those points. But even if you like to shop around, say, for a hotel and get the best deal across chains, you can sign up for rewards points through third-party booking sites as well. So you can take advantage of that. And then, of course, I should mention that one great way to save money on travel is to become an AARP member, because members get discounts on vacation packages, hotels, car rentals, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I was going to mention that when you were talking about the rewards points. Obviously, AARP is one of the most famous ways to get discounts. I mean, you can go into a hotel and it'll even say on the counter, we give AARP discounts. So clearly that's only available to those of us who are over 50. But what are some of the perks that AARP members do get if they decide to become a member and they're going traveling?
Well, first off, I should let you know that you don't have to be 50 to be an AARP member. A lot of people think that's the case, but it's really not. We'll gladly welcome people into the AARP family of any age, and you can take advantage of those discounts as well.
I did not know that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great tip for people out there to learn and take advantage of in terms of travel, because travel is are some of our most popular deals and discounts that we offer members. And as I mentioned, you can book right through our website, aarp.org, and you can get all kinds of deals there.
Okay, nice. Now, you mentioned Las Vegas, but for those of us who live in Las Vegas, what are some of the other most popular places to travel this year?
Right. So for your audience, you might want to mention here, California. Mm-hmm. Came up high on the survey. So especially when you're talking about family travel, of course, that makes a lot of sense. You've got, you know, California has theme parks and the beach and the mountains and national parks and all sorts of things for families to do in California. You know, and then another one that came up very high for family travel, maybe a bit of a long car ride for you all out there, but Florida was another popular destination.
Nice. Okay. So where can listeners learn more about AARP membership? You did mention AARP.org, but where can they also go to get more tips on travel or even find out what was in the Travel Trends survey?
Right. The best place to go is AARP.org/travel, where we have information on the survey, the Travel Trends survey, but also lots of articles in general written by our staff about travel vacation ideas, travel advice and tips, and then also the deals and discounts.
Nice. Okay. So once again, aarp.org/travel is the website to go to, aarp.org/travel. You can get some travel tips for summer road trips coming up. And you can also find out about AARP membership if you're interested in getting those discounts. And according to Jim, you don't have to be 50 to get to get an AARP membership. So there we go. Learn something new every day. All right, Jim, I want to thank you so much for being here, sharing some tips with the audience, letting us know what the social mindset is around travel this year and how people are looking forward to it and what they're looking forward to do. So I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Month as a part of One Thing. If all of us do our one thing together, that's millions of things for our planet. Sarah Bareilles tells us what her one thing is.
The one thing I'm going to do is make an even deeper commitment to public transportation, including biking. I'm going to do it.
To find your one thing, plus music, podcasts, and more, go to odyssey.com/one thing or download the free Odyssey app.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. The Animal Network has partnered with the Jordan's Way Tour to raise funds for local animal rescue. They'll be running a special 3-hour Facebook Live event this Monday, April 24th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the Animal Network Facebook page. Help raise funds by participating in games, challenges, and other festivities as part of the live event at facebook.com/theanimalnetwork. That's facebook.com/theanimalnetwork. And again, that's Monday, April 24th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Baller Dream Foundation and Circa Resort and Casino are hosting a celebrity poker tournament next weekend, April 28th to 30th, at Circa Resort and Casino's 60th floor rooftop lounge, The Legacy Club. This 3-day celebrity-filled weekend experience is hosted by Hall of Fame pitcher Greg Maddux to benefit young warriors battling cancer. Find out more, get your tickets, or sign up to play poker at ballerdream.org/circa. That's ballerdream.org/circa. Make-A-Wish Southern Nevada is holding their Walk for Wishes event on World Wish Day next Saturday, April 29th, with registration at 7 a.m. and walk at 8 a.m. at Town Square, Las Vegas. Make-A-Wish chapters and affiliates across the globe come together each year to celebrate World Wish Day, the anniversary of the wish that inspired the founding of Make-A-Wish back in 1980. You can join in the celebration of more than 350,000 wishes that have already been granted while raising funds for future wishes. Sign up or find out more information at wish.org/snv. That's wish.org/snv. The Nevada SPCA is back for its second annual brunch fundraiser to support the care of homeless pets in Southern Nevada. The Brunch Bash Bark Rescue is happening next Saturday, April 29th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Silverton Casino Hotel's Vail Pavilion. The event name and bar-inspired theme is a nod to special guest MC and animal lover John Taffer of the hit TV show Bar Rescue. Entertainment includes local favorites Murray the Magician, Cass Cates and the Ashley Red Band, and King of Diamonds Rob Garrett. Get your tickets or find out more at nevadaspca.org/events. That's nevadaspca.org/events. Mondays Dark is hosting the 4th annual Mondays Dark 5K Cowbell Jammer next Sunday, April 30th, with check-in at 8 a.m., group warm-up at 8:30, and fun run at 9 a.m. at True Fusion Eastern. This 5K supports many of the incredible local organizations that Mondays Dark has partnered with to date, and you get to choose your benefiting organization when you register. There's also post-race karaoke, beer, and donuts, and, of course, more cowbell. It's sure to be an exciting morning filled with fun to give back to the Vegas community. Register or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. Also every 2 weeks is the Mondays Dark Musical Fundraising Party with Mark Chinook at The Space. Each event raises $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include Monday, May 8th at 8 p.m. benefiting NLS, Nevada Legal Services, and Monday, May 22nd at 8 p.m. benefiting the Foundation for Recovery. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. The Douglas J. Green Memorial Foundation's 9th annual Munchies for the Military donation drive is underway until April 30th, providing care packages for armed forces members who are deployed overseas. You can drop off packaged snacks for the drive at various locations throughout the valley, including City of Henderson Rec Centers, Lifeguard Arena on Water Street, and all Humana offices. And then volunteers are needed to help pack the boxes on Saturday, May 6th. Find out more at inspirata.com under events. That's inspirata.com under events. The Just One Project's third annual premier On Cloud Wine fundraising event takes place on Saturday, May 20th from 6 to 9 p.m. at a private residence with valet parking available to guests. The Just One Project is Southern Nevada's largest mobile food pantry and distributes groceries to more than 20,000 food insecure residents every month. This year's event honors supporter Jerry Stanley, president and founder of Soil Tech. Get your tickets or sponsorships at thejustoneproject.org/oncloudwine. That's thejustoneproject.org/oncloudwine. Three Square's Bag Childhood Hunger campaign is doubling its impact thanks to matching sponsors through May 31st. For every dollar donated, Three Square can provide up to 6 wholesome, nutritious meals to Southern Nevada children and families in need. Find out more or make a donation at threesquare.org. That's threesquare.org. And Chef Pete Gioni is running a 10-week Cooking for a Cure fundraising campaign with a goal of raising $100,000 over those 10 weeks to support the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, or LLS. You can donate at the various partner restaurants or directly through his website through June 10th. Find out more, learn about healthy eating for cancer patients, see the list of participating restaurants, or make a donation at cookingforacure.com. That's cookingforacure.com.